Today is Friday.
Friday.
What time?
Morning.
A great way to end your week.
Well, the best way to start.
This weekend.
Start this weekend.
Bam! Coffee!
Coffee wakes you up in the morning.
I think you've had enough coffee.
A cup of coffee gets the world off to work in the morning.
Let's get through today.
And then we can start the party.
The weekend starts here.
It's showtime.
The Mixed Morning Fix with John Monroe and Jackson. Starts now.
Indeed, the weekend does start here. It's Friday!
Friday!
Good morning to you, John Monroe Jackson. Two out of three.
A couple of us are here.
Two out of three is not bad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We didn't even get a text this time.
I know.
I know she's alive because she sent the email.
Yes.
So we got an email this morning.
Was that this morning?
Was it, or was it last night?
I think it was last night.
Oh, maybe she's still asleep.
I did, because I did text this morning at about 10 minutes ago, just checking on her.
Yeah.
Haven't heard back.
Oh, she's dead asleep.
You think she's still asleep?
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to call her.
And then she's going to come in, and all she's going to do is complain about how her makeup's not done.
What do you think she'll complain about the most? We woke her up, her makeup's not done, or her finger?
You know what? She's really going to milk that finger.
Yeah.
It's going to be that... If I have to hear about her broken finger, I gotta be honest with you. I felt sympathetic the first 15 times.
Uh-huh.
And then she kept bringing it up. I was like, man, zero sympathy now. You ruined
out.
It.
Right.
You ruined it.
I felt bad for Monroe because Monroe broke her finger. The story of how she did it, very funny. It's on our podcast.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. At all.
We'll tell you about it in the podcast extra today.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for throwing it out there, Watkins.
My bad. But she's trying to talk to Jackson, myself, and then we had our tech there yesterday, Nils, who's also this guy who played sports.
Right.
And when you play sports, you break your fingers.
All the time.
Constantly.
Yeah.
It's just something that happens. We all played football.
Yeah.
And, I mean, who hasn't had their finger between two helmets at least once?
Right.
And so she's telling us, like, yeah, you just tape it up. Oh, there she is. Oh, look at that. Ugh. Gosh.
And first thing she does, she leads herself into the room with her finger.
You were so right. You were right.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I thought she'd be mad that we woke her up, but no, it's her finger. Morning, Monroe.
It takes like twice as long
to
get ready.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No.
Yes, it does.
This is an intervention.
You have two working hands.
No, I only have
that is a working hand.
This is a working hand. There was a guy who climbed the Dawn Wall with two fingers amputated.
You have 4 out of 5 fingers still. You're fine.
You are not with the right group of people.
It's my toothbrush in hand.
Use your left hand.
Yeah.
The wiping hand?
I was wondering that.
Bidet hand. Get yourself a bidet.
Or a garden hose.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Some Windex?
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I did test my husband to see, like...
how far I would go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Babe. It'll help.
Yeah. You know, I heard that
like,
hand, and he was like, well, you're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah.
We're going to have to put you in assisted living until your one finger heals, because I'm not doing that for you.
Not an ankle.
No.
Not an arm.
Not a leg.
Not a leg.
Yeah.
No. Finger.
Yep.
You have to unwrap it.
No, you don't.
You are going to get zero sympathy from us. We gave you sympathy all day yesterday.
We agreed already on the show this morning that you got to move on.
It's broken!
We've all broken our finger.
Yeah.
Have you never broken a bone before?
Uh-uh.
Oh, is this your first time?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Really? Oh. Have you ever broken
a bone? I've never broken a... I had a fracture in my thumb, but it never actually, like, broke.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So, like, I just had to let it heal. I just kept using it.
Yeah.
Let it heal.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah.
You just push through it.
Ankle. Elbow,
oh,
chin.
Man. You finger. Broke your chin?
Yeah.
How? What? How?
I took a helmet right to the chin when I was playing football.
Oh, John.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
I know. Yeah. They had to wire it shut. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
They get, John gets up. They're like, put some dirt in it. You're fine.
You're fine.
Walk it off.
Don't cry.
Boo.
Daddy.
Yeah. The whole team throws banana peels at him. Get out of here, Watkins.
I got to tell you. I'm glad you showed up, Monroe, because this is a big show today.
It's
listen
a big
to this.
Day.
Okay.
Murr from Impractical Jokers
Woo!
Is on. Murr!
I love Murr. He's my favorite Impractical Joker.
Also, we have the casting director from Biggest Loser because they're bringing it back. And of course, Jackson, a star of Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
I'm a star.
The star, okay?
The star.
Like, come on. Did anyone else matter?
Yeah. My season, the girl who won.
I was going to say the person who won the cash.
She got a lot of attention.
We have Fiancé Friday this morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love Fiancé Friday.
And also, Tony Hale.
Tony Hale, ladies
Stop
and gentlemen.
Stop it. Hale. Stop it.
We yes. were just like what? 2 days ago talking about how much we love Tony
yes.
Hale.
Yes. Tony Hale, Forky.
Buster Bluth, excuse you.
I know, but...
First and foremost, Buster Bluth. And I understand that he's had a long Emmy-winning career on Veep.
Yes.
But he will always be Buster Bluth. With his little hook
I
hand.
I know. I trust me. I'm with you. I want to just talk Arrested Development with him.
Yeah, all
But
day.
He's promoting Toy Story 4, which comes out today.
Which is exciting as well.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Oh.
Forky.
That's the only Forky you got,
that's
huh?
That's what I got for
We
Forky.
Haven't seen the movie yet, right? So.
No. I haven't actually heard any of our listeners who went either. I don't know. Because we had some of that we gave like for a pre-screening.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anything about that. I'm going to give some Toy Story 4 tickets away. Actually, right now in just a few seconds. But first, you're injured. I don't want to throw it on you, but we didn't have a chance to ask. Do we have a pocket full of sunshine?
If not, yeah,
that's
we
fine.
Do.
We do.
Yeah, I got one.
Let's hear it.
Go on.
What?
Nothing.
I know I'm a mess. I know.
I just can't believe you came over all that adversity that is your broken finger to scroll for something. That's your scrolling hand.
Right?
That's awesome.
Disney emoji blitz, dude. I always rest it on that finger.
I'm so sorry.
All right. Martin Watts of Leeds, England recently got a tattoo, okay, in the middle of his chest, which, I don't know, you kind of picture maybe like a crown or like some letters of his last name.
Thug Life.
Yeah, yeah. Right? You get a chest tattoo.
Sure.
Actually, he got an odd tattoo because his 6-year-old son had to undergo heart surgery, and the son was really worried about the scar.
Aww.
Like, I'm going to be scarred after this heart surgery. So the dad got a tattoo of a scar.
Oh my gosh. Don't tell those kind of stories so early in the morning.
That's so cute.
Isn't that so cute? So he did it to support his son and show him that you can be proud of
your
scar. I love
that. That's awesome. Jackson, you were saying how you're kind of obsessed with music videos again.
Yeah, they're good again.
I need you to look up this music video. I watched it the other day. The artist's name is Cyn, C-Y-N.
Okay.
And she is the first artist off of Katy Perry's new record label.
Oh, okay. What's the name of the song?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, C-Y-N cool. is what you... It's like Holy Rollers, I think is what it's called. And just watch the video.
That's not... Okay.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Don't watch it now. I'm just...
Well, I want to get it loaded so I can watch it during commercials.
Like, right now, we got to do the showbiz beat. You can't just be sitting there. We can't have 3 minutes of you just watching.
I am going to jump over this counter and choke you. Today is not the day.
Did you find it, though?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Let's get to your showbiz beat.
Let's do it. All right. I have waited literally my whole life for this moment. We've got the Lion King remake coming out. And Beyonce, Donald Glover, two of my favorite people in the entire world,
yep.
are in it. They just released a new commercial for the movie, and it has them singing Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Take a listen.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Look at the stars.
The peace the evening brings.
The great kings look down on us from those stars.
The world for once. In perfect harmony with all its living things.
And so will I.
Disney's The Lion King.
Oh,
got chills.
I literally have goosebumps like all over my arms. I cannot wait for this movie. And James Earl Jones, back at it.
I know. I was like, yeah, that's the original Mufasa.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? They recast everyone, but for some reason they went, well, we got to keep James Earl Jones in there.
Here's the thing. No one cares about anyone else in that cast.
Uh-uh.
I understand that it was Nathan Lane, and I love Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane was great.
I think Seth Rogen's going to do a great job as well, though. I don't think Nathan Lane's super necessary.
Uh-huh.
Who didn't love Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Matthew Broderick.
All very, very important people, mm-hmm. right? But the only person that I think everyone would have rioted over
uh-huh.
is James Earl Jones. Like, they knew that they had to pull him out of retirement and shovel a bunch of money at him.
Simba. remember.
They had
who
to deal
you
it.
You could have got the guy who does the voice for the Arby's commercials, unless that is James Earl
How
Jones.
Dare you? And that might be James Earl Jones.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine getting that guy?
We have the meat.
The we have the meat guy to talk about the circle of life.
Yes.
Everything the light touches is your kingdom. Also, get me a big beef and cheddar.
Euros.
No.
Yes.
No. Tragedy. Justin Bieber has apparently agreed to the AFC to fight Tom Cruise.
I'm telling you, something's weird about this whole thing.
It's not going
to
happen.
It's just UFC trying to get more publicity.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, to me, this feels like, so I don't care about the UFC. I don't care about fighting.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, it's sports football, just like the rest of everything else is sports football.
Right.
It just doesn't interest me. However, they do know how much I would love to see both Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber get hit. So they're appealing to people like me, maybe, who wouldn't normally care about the UFC or know anything about it. But now I kind of care. I know who Dana White is now. I didn't know that before.
You didn't know before this started?
No. Why would I know that?
You didn't know who, you didn't know who Big Poppy was either yesterday.
No.
So that's a good point.
I don't know these people. They're sports football people. I'm out of my element here, man.
Okay.
So Dana White apparently had UFC people call Justin Bieber's management team. And apparently Justin Bieber's like, I'm actually down. Like, at this point, it's too late for him to back out. He's made too many promises.
But no knows. He knows Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise
gonna
is going
like,
to do this.
Are you serious?
There's no way Tom Cruise will do it. But then I'm seeing all these reports like, Tom Cruise is actually the one that sounds more excited about it. Because, again, I want nothing more than to see Justin Bieber get hit. I think it's super great.
Dude, Tom Cruise is going to wreck him.
If it happens.
It's fake. It's fake.
Hey, you're fake, man.
We have the meats.
Again, I just think it's UFC grabbing some free publicity. So, I mean, good for them. You may as well. If celebrities are dishing it out, you may as well eat it up while you can. This weekend, we've got two movies coming out. Two movies about toys coming to life.
Uh-huh.
We've got Toy Story 4.
Of course.
On one end of the spectrum.
And Child's Play.
On the other.
Chucky with Mark Hamill.
I never looked at it that way.
They're both about,
What
is like toys come to life and it's the best possible scenario? They learn about friendship and kindness and they learn to love. They support each other.
Mm-hmm.
The other one kills everybody. So,
dude, you know that this is going to happen. Monday, there's going to be a story about some grandpa who took their grandkid to see the new toy movie and there's ended like, up in Child's Play.
He's like, I don't know. I just walked into the theater because there was a poster of a doll. What do you want from me? I didn't know any better.
Uh-huh. That's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great.
One time when I was working at the movie theater, we got a new digital projector. We had only had film up to that point. Uh-huh. And I'm going to go ahead and guess that our projectionists didn't quite know what they were doing with it because they had accidentally... We used to get our movies on these huge discs, like these giant drives that you'd have to plug into the machine and then it download for hours. It was like a whole thing.
Really?
So they downloaded it and they started playing and the family didn't go see Fly Me to the Moon as they had intended. They started watching some Shark Attack movie with nothing but shark attacks and boobs in 3D. And like the first scene is like a topless pool party shark attack scene.
Naturally.
And that's what the kids saw when they went to see Fly Me to the Moon.
Yes.
Because the projectionist downloaded the wrong movie.
That's awesome.
Which I thought was pretty great. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
All right, how about this text we just got saying, morning, guys. I just got up, got ready, hair, teeth, makeup. I don't have school till Monday.
Oh. But at least you look good.
That's right. Starting the day off right.
Nailed it.
How about this? From your favorite show in Practical Jokers, Myrrh.
Salt Lake City is one of my favorite places on the planet, by the way.
No, it's not. You're just saying that because you're on a radio tour right now.
I lived there for a while. One of the first TV shows I ever sold was about the plow truck drivers that plow Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon roads.
No,
I'm not joking.
Kidding. So was it a reality TV show?
Yeah, I sold it to, it aired on A&E, and it was I named it Impassable, but renamed it Snowmen for TV. It ran for a season on the air. And it was one of the first TV shows I ever sold. I'm a massive fan of Salt Lake City. I'm there all the time, no joke.
Oh, that's really cool. I got to tell you, Mer, when I was reading about you, you're a renaissance man. You're a jack of all trades.
Thanks, man.
You know, and I got to be honest, I was late to Impractical Jokers. My kids are the ones who turned me on to it. And I was like, God, what a hilarious show. Will you at least walk me through? Because I wasn't at the beginning of this. Was that a concept you came up with, like with a comedy troupe, or was it really just some buddies of yours?
But these are my high school friends. We've been friends 30 years, literally. And we've been in a comedy troupe called The Tender Ones for many years. And we tried for 11 years to get on TV with no success. And we eventually came up with the idea for Jokers, which is like an upside-down hidden camera show with the jokes on us. And then I worked in TV development, like I said, for many years. I pitched it through my job, and we sold the show. And now we're about to hit our 200th episode of the TV show.
Congrats. And plus, you have the comedy tour. I mean, I know you guys were actually at the Maverick Center not too long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago.
Yeah.
We were there last summer. That's right.
We're talking right now to Mer. You know him from Impractical Jokers, and you referenced earlier how you were a part of TV. So would you just come up with these ideas, and then did you pitch them to a specific organization, or was it really just to anyone who had a TV channel at the time?
No, I was unemployed for most of my life. A production company gave me a shot at like pitching them TV shows, and that for 1 week, and turned into a month, turned into a year, turned into 10 years. And then eventually I ran development for the company. And that was like a crash course in creating and selling TV shows.
That's what I mean by Renaissance Man. And then you go from that to the fact that you've written a book. It's called Awakened: The Brink. And this is your first novel?
No. So The Brink is the sequel. It's the second one. Awakened came out last year. The crazy thing about that is that Awakened is the whole trilogy. It's a trilogy. It's about, the mayor of New York City trapped in the subways fighting against these creatures that are underneath New York secretly. And he's got to escape from the subway tunnels along with the passengers on the train. It's an action-packed, thrilling, exciting adventure. And I wrote the book 15 years ago. I spent a year writing it, but it was long before Jokers. And I were regular guys. I didn't have an agent. I didn't know somebody in the business. And nobody would read it. I couldn't get a single publisher to read the book. And then 15 years later, HarperCollins bought the trilogy, and Awakened, the first book, hit number one on the international bestseller list. So that's pretty cool.
Man.
And then the sequel, The Brink, The Brink just came out today. It's the sequel. It picks up where the first one left off. It is about the mayor going on the hunt for the secret mastermind, the evil villain, who's been orchestrating all these kind of world events secretly, unbeknownst to us. And it's got Nazis and creatures and villains and heroes, and a couple of references to Impractical Jokers in there for fans. I love it. It's the best summer beach reading I've ever had.
Is there talks of any kind of like movie deal yet? Is that like the goal? Or are you just happy that the fact that after 15 years, your book is being published?
No joke. I'm out in LA in like 2 weeks pitching the Awakened trilogy as a movie. No joke.
Will you put your friends like in cameos? Do they get anything in it or no? Are you going to try to like distance yourself? Are you going to try to do like the Jonas Brothers and kind of have a moment that it's just you? It's just Mer.
You know, I think there's a couple of roles for four middle-aged reality TV stars. One is kind of bald but cute and young in face. Another is a little fat. The other has a big nose. I think it's a fun spot for him.
That's awesome. All right, so the new book is out today. It's the second of the Awakened series, The Brink. And again, Mer, he has a Practical Jokers. They hit 200 episodes now.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. Jackson told me earlier that his family's seen every single one of
them. We've watched every single episode of Impractical Jokers. We're big fans.
That's awesome. That's great, man. That's awesome.
And I love it because it's something that the family can sit down and watch.
That's the thing, yeah. Like, at no point do I ever feel like it's so inappropriate.
No.
It's nice and fun.
So, hey, man, congratulations on all your success, from going unemployed to all of a sudden running a TV company to your TV show to your book to the number one book. You're killing it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I should get unemployed more often.
That's right, exactly. Hey, have a great day. Thanks for calling in.
You too, man.
All right, let's play The Feud.
Yes! Love The Feud.
The other day, we're trying to figure out a game. And I'm like, Monroe, what can we play? She's like, Morning Show Family Feud.
No, that's a Friday morning.
She's like, it's my favorite game we ever do. I was like, I didn't realize that this was your favorite game.
I like Family Feud.
It's good, but it's a Friday morning only activity. We can't spread it throughout the week.
Morning Says show, who? Family Feud. Do you know today is the first day of summer?
Oh, really? Because when I woke up, it was 48 degrees.
I know.
I had to turn back into my house to get a sweater because it was nippy outside.
Yeah.
It's June.
I know. It was cold just parking my car.
I don't know why I'm mad at you.
I don't know why.
I'm just mad in general.
You know why? I was thinking this exact thing this morning. It's because John does the weather. And so he's always the one that tells us, like, it's going to be all cold this weekend. I'm like, it's...
Boo!
But I'm just here.
Get out of here, man. No, just show your face around here ever again.
I guess today, like, it's going to be a sunlight for 15 and a half hours.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Cold sunlight.
It's, yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
So since today is the first day of summer, I got in front of me a list of the top 10 summer activities. Guess one right, and we're going to put you in the drawing for tickets to see Spider-Man, the advanced screening of the brand new Spider-Man film with Jake Gyllenhaal. I know you guys love the Jake Gyllenhaal.
Handsome Jake Gyllenhaal.
He is so handsome.
He's so handsome. It's ridiculous.
He looks so good in that uniform.
Yep.
He's wearing a geeky outfit.
Yeah.
But man.
Well, anybody else in that outfit would wear them. But he certainly wears that outfit.
Yes.
Spider-Man Far From Home. To play along, you text us at 844-649-1051. Top 10 summer activities. Monroe, you won the coin toss, plus you're playing injured today, so we'll let you start it
off. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
Yes.
Embarrassing.
Swimming.
Show me playing in a pool. Number 5.
What?
I know.
That's
I feel like
the only thing you do in summer.
To me, that's number 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what number 1 is to me.
Oh, please.
Day drinking. Going out to a park or a patio.
Adult beverages on a patio?
Yeah. Yep.
Show me adult beverages on a patio. That's not
Boom.
On the list of the top 10
Your
summer
list
activities.
Sucks. That's the only part about summer that's really great. Otherwise,
no
it's too
one
hot.
Admits it, though. The people that take survey aren't going to admit to doing
it. I'll just go down to the street and I'll start. Hi, have you heard the good word of day drinking? And I go out there and I recruit people.
Listen, I am a hard day drinker. I go hard. I fell asleep way too early, so.
Top 10 summer activities, Monroe. What do you got?
Barbecues.
Barbecues, you say. Hold on here. Let me see. Show me barbecues. No.
What?
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Okay.
You can barbecue year-round. You don't need to wait for summer for barbecues. You can barbecue in a winter storm.
No, gross. That's terrible.
Go back to your patio.
I will.
Hippie.
Hippies don't care about patios.
I don't know, man.
Hipsters like patios.
That's right. Top 10 summer activities. Back to you, Jackson.
Hiking.
Show me hiking. Yeah, number 2.
Oh, man. My husband's going to be mad that I didn't guess that.
Well, the Watkins family, we go on one hike every year.
Uh-huh.
And then
I know. It's because you go on, like, big hikes. You took your... Didn't you guys try to do Timpanogos last year?
Oh, we did do that one last year.
And I told you not to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
That and was I right?
Wait, Mount Timpanogos or Timpanogos Cave?
The cave.
Yeah, where you do the switchbacks?
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
That was a hard one. This year, we did one... It wasn't hard. It was like a mile. And we do the same thing every year. We go on these hikes and we're like, oh, we should do this again. And we never go again.
You know why? Because by the end, you end up carrying Ella.
I do.
And even though she weighs 4 pounds, that's a heavy 4 pounds
Listen,
on your back.
You carry that 4 pounds up and down a hill, it'll wear you out.
Yeah. Why don't you just tie a helium balloon to her? Just drag her along.
There was a time when it was so steep, I'm like, my heart's going to give out. They're going to have to life flight me out of here.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
Mm.
Back to Monroe.
What about, like, sports?
Sports. What do you mean by that?
Oh, like playing football in the park or frisbee.
Playing
do I have to be more specific?
Football in a park.
Why are you smiling? Because there's something kind of related to it
no,
on the list.
No, there really isn't. I was laughing at myself because I'm like, it would be funny if. But I don't see that on this list. Don't look at me.
Okay.
He's lying to me. There's something on the list.
Renee says, what about going on vacation, a summer activity? Not on here, but I agree. That would be like top 3, wouldn't it? And we'll go one more time around, some text, and we'll go from there.
Picnic.
Show me picnic. A lot of picnic text messages also. Yeah, number 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought playing in the park wasn't... I thought picnic wasn't going to be on there because playing in the park falls under that as far as I'm concerned.
Gotcha.
But.
Monroe, back to you.
What about... what about, like, just playing in a park?
Didn't you just say that? Didn't you literally just say that?
Well, like the playground part.
What about playing football at the park?
Well, because I'm trying to figure out...
How about golf? How about frisbee golf?
Okay,
ice tobogganing?
Right. You know what? Okay, water fights.
No, I'm giving you the park one. You have to do the park one.
The thing about it is that she just said it on her last turn, and then I said it again during my turn, and then we threw it to her, and she goes, I'm a plane in the park.
She's on pain medicine. She broke
her
finger.
No, she's not. She's on four ibuprofen every 8 hours.
I meant the playground, okay? When we go to the park, we just go there for the playground. The playground.
Playground?
Yes.
The Morning Show Family Feud. Call us, text us right now. Top 10 summer activities. 7 more to go. Concert at the park was a text that we got. I like concerts at the park. I remember growing up and doing those.
I used to like them. Now I have kids.
I haven't gone since I've been an adult. I remember as a kid going, though, and enjoying it. We get like KFC and like sit there and just, I don't know, watch a band or something. Let's see. Going to the beach.
The beach.
Number 3. Day at the beach. Absolutely.
Yep.
I'm shocked there's one that has not been guessed, and I would have thought Monroe would have guessed it.
What?
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh. riding bikes.
No, riding bikes is not it. What about eating watermelon?
That's fun.
It's a fun summer activity.
Sure.
A seed spitting contest.
Okay.
Watermelons don't have seeds anymore.
Yeah, we genetically modified those out of there.
But you
get out of here, seeds!
You can't buy a watermelon with seeds anymore?
I mean, I'm sure you can.
It's harder.
It's hard to find, though. Yeah.
You know, I think that's right, because we did a seed spitting contest on air. We had the hardest time finding a
seeded watermelon.
I think we ended up using sunflower seeds.
Yeah. It's Monsanto, man. Taking all them seeds out. I'm fine with it. I don't care.
I will say, speaking of genetically modified fruit, if you have not had cotton candy grapes, you are missing out on the greatest experience
God,
of your life.
I love cotton candy grapes. Cotton candy
They're
grapes.
They're good. They're grapes.
They look like grapes and they taste like candy. Cotton candy grapes. You know you want some.
Jackson, we'll go back to you.
Wow.
Top 10 summer activities.
How about... I'm just so drawing a blank right now. Yeah. How about going to the library? I don't know.
You know, I think that's a great guess. Because I know, like, our kids, we go once a week to the library in the summertime. They're in the reading program.
Yeah.
They do all, I mean, it's not right, but I think it was a great guess.
Listen, here's the problem. I was fat, so I didn't have, like, summer fun by the pool as a kid, okay? That wasn't my speed. I walked to the library every day.
I can't believe
that's how I spent my summers.
So many people have texted in the one I've been waiting for Monroe to say. We'll give her one more chance, and then I'll read it. Go ahead, Monroe.
Does it have to do with hands?
No, it doesn't have to do with hands.
Yes.
Okay.
You pack up all your giant glove collection.
I know.
Measuring horses with your large hands.
I know what you want me to say, and I don't want to say it because it's not a fun activity for me.
What is it?
Camping.
Show me camping. Number 1 on the list.
Yes.
That is.
One of my favorite lines ever in The Good Place. Is when they're talking about what their version of The Bad Place would be.
Uh-huh.
And Eleanor's just like, Eleanor, played by Kristen Bell, by the way. And she's just like, I'll bet my bad place is just camping. It's just camping all the time. Like, that's the worst possible thing she could think of.
Watching fireworks. You guys want to hear them?
Yeah.
Blowing stuff up? Come on, man.
Top 10 summer activities. Number 10, summer cleaning.
I was going to say Marie Kondo, but I was like, that's a spring thing.
Summer cleaning.
Throw your list away. That's a spring thing.
Number 9, playing with chalk. Just going out there and...
Aw, man.
Oh, yeah, but walking to the library was such a...
I'm just giving you what's on the list,
okay.
Man. Number 8 is flying a kite.
Okay.
You go
That's
to the
more like a fall activity when the wind starts blowing.
No, kites are a springish activity, summer activity.
Number 7, having a water fight. Monroe, you did say it, but then you changed your guess.
You didn't give it to me.
You changed your guess is what happened.
You
changed your
Why
guess.
Why are you hiding? Why are you hiding?
Your guess is what happened.
Because you know what you did was wrong.
Number 6 is scavenger hunt.
Does that anymore?
Utah teens?
Dude, I will tell you, the last time I did a scavenger hunt, it was a kissing scavenger hunt.
What?
I know. How we didn't come back with mono, I don't know.
So did you have to find like long blonde hair?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, kiss somebody at a public event. So we like went to a baseball game. And
wow.
We had to video it.
Like a great summer.
We make a note for the podcast. We got a few questions to ask Monroe later on today. Number five is play in a pool. Number four is picnic. Number three, the day at the beach. Number two, hiking. And the number one top 10 summer activity would be, Monroe?
Camping.
Yeah. Jackson, you got a birthday shout out over there?
Yes, I do. So we got a text in here saying that their son, Aleke, is turning 9 today.
Oh, cool.
I want to say it's Aleke. It looks like Aleke to me, but if I messed it up, I'm sorry I ruined your whole birthday.
You might have.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
But hey, happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday. I had a summer birthday as well. And in some ways, they were the best birthday.
Yeah.
Because the weather's always great and like you can be outside and have fun.
Yeah, you have all of your friends over because no one's tied up with like school and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But on the other hand, it really stunk because like school was out.
So you didn't get a school birthday.
Well, and you couldn't like invite people. Yeah, it was terrible. The teacher would always throw like your birthday in like the last week of June. You know, like with all the other
share
July.
With the summer birthdays.
Yeah.
Ew. Get out of here, August.
And then like, you know, we didn't have email or anything. So you'd give out your invitations when school was still going on. My birthday wasn't until middle of July.
So everyone would forget.
People would lose those invitations.
Oh,
yeah.
Sad.
That's what my mom used to tell me.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. Just,
yeah. John, every time you tell a story from your childhood, I understand more and more why you are the way that you are.
Hey, Monroe. I hear you have a pocket full of sunshine for us.
I do. Some nursing home residents in Maryland had a slightly more exciting day than usual this week. 52-year-old Andrew Lund works as a nurse at an assisting living facility in Salisbury, Maryland. Salisbury?
Like the steak.
Okay. So he was at work on Tuesday. Someone outside put their car in reverse by mistake and backed into a river that runs past the property. He immediately realized the driver couldn't get out and the cops wouldn't get there in time. So while his co-workers were on the phone with 911, he stripped down to his skivvies. Because, you know, nursing home, skivvies.
Sure. Go ahead. Whatever.
No. Come on, John. If you would have said it, you would have been proud of yourself.
You're right. I would have been. I would have got the same response from
the two
of
exactly.
You.
Anyways, he dives into the water. He managed to get the guy to roll his window down. Got his seatbelt undone and then pulled him out through the window
as
the car went under. So an ambulance got the guy to the hospital. He only ended up with minor injuries. And it turns out that Andrew just so happened he used to be a lifeguard back in college.
Oh, wow.
Cool. So that's why he dove into the river.
Full Baywatch on
that's
him,
awesome.
Huh?
That's awesome.
I know, right? And he's stripped down to his skivvies.
Because it's an old folks home.
Yeah.
I get it.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. After the show today, we will be recording our next Saturday morning serial. It's a special episode that we do for our podcast. It's every other Saturday, and it's a true crime podcast that Jackson hosts. It's part of the Mixed Morning Fix. It's not like it's a separate thing. You don't search for Saturday morning serial.
It's a bonus episode.
Yeah. Just search for the Mixed Morning Fix on your podcast directory. All morning long, Jackson has been like researching this. You seem pretty confident it's going to mess with me, so that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. The reason I have to research it is because it happened a while ago, and it was such a huge story in Northern California, and it kind of spread everywhere, that there's a lot of misinformation, and so I'm trying to figure out the straight and narrow, but it's such a great story.
What's been fun also is Jackson has done a few of these, and then other true crime podcasts have done them afterwards, which my wife likes true crime. And she's like, oh, have you heard about this? And I'm like,
we already did that.
That's part of Saturday morning serial.
We got this.
Download that podcast, Jen.
Yeah, Jen. Get it together, girl.
I'm so sorry, Jen. Let's
get it. Let's do it. Well, 911 dispatchers in Nashville, Tennessee yesterday got 15 calls. From the same guy about the same thing. Nashville, Tennessee guy is calling him up saying, hey, I was just assaulted by Brad Pitt.
What?
Whoa.
And he called 15 times. Now, here's the thing. I don't think that Brad Pitt was in Nashville yesterday.
Oh.
Okay. His name is Matthew Salone. He threatened dispatchers after they took note because they were like, sir, this number's for emergencies, and they hung up on him.
Right.
And he called them and started threatening the dispatchers. And then they actually did dispatch police at that point and charged him with misusing the emergency system.
Okay, so...
Which, I don't know how big of a deal that is. Is that, like... I'm assuming it's a misdemeanor.
I think it's a ticket.
Yeah, it's a fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That's nothing.
And that's you keep doing it.
Right.
Right.
And then I'm sure you get some sort of, like, slap on the hand or something. Yeah. Yeah, 15 times. Can you...
Well, I don't know.
Saying that Brad Pitt assaulted him.
Dude, if he really thought Brad Pitt assaulted him, if I thought Brad Pitt assaulted me, I'd call that many times.
Yeah. I'd call TMZ.
I know, right? Yeah. Oh, they'd be
911 would not be my first call.
Oh, they would be so sympathetic.
Yeah. You call them up and you're like, I've got a story for you. How much are you willing to pay?
Exactly.
And turns out a lot.
Yeah.
So, Brad Pitt, if you actually did hit that man, you'd be nice to people. But I don't think you did. Russell Crowe tells Howard Stern that he lost out on $100 million by not starring in The Lord of the Rings. Who thought he was in consideration?
Who was he supposed to be in Lord of the Rings?
He was supposed to be Viggo Mortensen. He was supposed to be that character.
Oh, I'm glad he wasn't.
So here's what, I think he would have done a good job.
He would have been good. He's such a diva in real life, yeah. It would have ruined the movies
for
me.
He just adds... too much yeah. drama.
Like, I used to love Russell Crowe movies. I still love Gladiator. You'll never take that one away from me. Gosh, that was such a great movie.
Yeah.
But all the other ones, I'm like, oh, he's in it. Like a beautiful mind or whatever.
Oh, I love all of his movies.
That movie, but now I hate it because really? He was so... Yeah.
Master and Commander.
It's like me and Ben Affleck. I hate Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm sure he's a great actor and his movies are wonderful... I can't watch them because I hate his face, and I can't watch anything with him in because the mere sight of him makes me angry.
I know, both of you.
And like, I get where you're at with Russell Crowe. That's fair. But I guess when Peter Jackson was casting for Lord of the Rings, the studio really was pushing Russell Crowe on him, and the studio had promised Russell Crowe 10% of the box office.
Oh my gosh!
Which is stupid. That's why he missed out on $100 million because they made $1 billion.
10%.
Could you imagine that?
What a deal, by the way.
Take it.
Now, to be fair, at the time, did they think that Lord of the Rings was going to get as big as it did? Who knows?
Right.
Because it, like, that was one of the first, like, big sci-fi fantasy, that is what made fantasy big in everyone's household. You know what I mean? Before that, it was just a niche thing.
Right.
So I'm sure they offered him 10% thinking that, you know, okay, well, if it's a bomb, then it doesn't matter. We didn't have to pay Russell Crowe money.
Right.
But I guess the studio is really forcing Russell Crowe on Peter Jackson, so he finally agreed to meet with him. And Russell Crowe was telling this in an interview with Howard Stern. He was just like, Peter Jackson couldn't have cared less about meeting me. He's like, I could see it in his eyes. He already had someone in his mind that he wanted to play Aragorn, and it turned out it was Viggo Mortensen. And he took the meeting to humor the studio because the studio was putting a lot of money behind a fantasy movie.
You know what, though? That'd be so weird to be sitting there across from someone when you walk in thinking that this person's interested in you and then realizing right away... No, he's doing this just for business.
I am a consolation prize.
Yeah.
Like, in case something doesn't work out. Yeah, it's such a bummer. Joe Jonas, he's talking again. Joe. He says that the band's Disney days were actually really scary sometimes. He talked about how they'd want to have small little sessions, really intimate settings where they could like really play the music that they wanted to play for the fans, but the fans would get too overwhelming. So even like they were trying to like calm everyone down in these stadiums full of like thousands of screaming people.
My fans love me too much.
Yeah. Stop cheering for me.
But he did say, he goes, so we did a little private meet and greet at a mall in Spain, and the word got out that they were there. 10,000 people rushed the mall, and they had to run away like it was a zombie horde.
I bet.
They had to run away from 10,000 people.
And that would be scary.
That's scary.
Yeah, that would be scary.
So, like, this time I'm just like, yeah, Joe Jonas, I get that.
Yeah.
That's fair. That sounds terrifying. And that is a Showbiz Beat.
All right, Jackson, appreciate that. You got it. You're in charge of the show with Choose the News this morning. And, of course, you can win those tickets to Spider-Man. Just pick the story you want to hear. Jackson, your story again is...
You need to move this far away from your in-laws for your mental health.
Monroe?
The most ridiculous things people have tried to expense at work.
And I've got nerd news. You know, the text here. How about this? I feel so awkward trying to make my text sound cool enough to read.
That's cute.
I vote for John because nerd news is fun.
Listen, I'm not making fun of John for doing nerd news because I actually love when he does nerd news.
Yes.
I'm a big old nerd. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by this sort of stuff. I'm upset because he's tried now 3 weeks in a row to win with nerd news, and he hasn't won yet.
He's saying switch it up.
So maybe we should just let him win today.
Don't you
so
let
we
me
can
win.
Stop
Don't you dare
this.
Let me win.
Yeah, pity. And if he does win, it's just a pity
I
win.
Know. Now you've ruined, you guys have tainted it. You put an asterisk next
does
to it.
Does it taste good?
No. My name is Brooke. My vote is for Jackson today. I live 5 minutes away from my in-laws, and I would never tell my husband, but it definitely does affect my mental health.
Oh, I'll bet, honey. It's hard. Family can be hard. I love my family, but there's a reason I don't live with them. It's stressful.
You got to set those boundaries.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Lily. My mom is still teaching in school, and we're going to help her today. How fun is that?
Aw.
3 votes for Jackson. Have a great day.
Boo, boo, boo. That was 3 poo-poos.
Morning, guys. Happy Friday. I'd like to hear Monroe's story this morning because I want to know what this is about. Hope you have a great weekend. You guys are awesome. That's Jamie from Salt Lake.
Thanks, Jamie.
Well, let's just tally up the rest of the votes here. Okay, I didn't win. But
of course you didn't.
But I got more votes than last week.
You're making it, man.
I'm making it, yeah. The winner today with 48% of the votes, almost half of them, Jackson!
Yeah! All right, a new survey was put out by Ally Home and asked people, what is your relationship and living situation with your in-laws? Because most people on the survey reported that their in-laws are a big source of stress in their life. We all know how stress affects your mental health, affects your physical health. And a lot of people reported saying, I live too close to my in-laws, and it messes with me. So they wanted to know like the exact stats. Like, what would be the perfect amount of distance for you to live away from your in-laws? Apparently, you need to live at least 15 minutes away from your in-laws, preferably 45.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That seems far.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, a little Salt Lake to Brigham City.
Right.
I'm way off. I live 5 minutes from my mother-in-law, and I live 10 minutes away from my mom.
John lived with his in-laws for a year and a half.
Year and a half.
And then moved 4 minutes away from them.
We're now less than 1 mile away from
exactly.
each other.
It's all about the boundaries that you set.
I agree.
Because my mother-in-law, she went through a phase where she would just show up at the house. And you know what? I wouldn't let her in.
Would you really not let her in?
I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would. She'd say, oh, you know, I brought something over for the kids. And I'd be like, oh, we're going to the grocery store. You know?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. Because the next thing that they asked people about was unannounced visits.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the big... So really what it boils down to is it's not that they live so close. It's that because they live so close, they get too involved. And so people were reporting, they were like, 37% of people said that under no circumstances is any family member ever allowed to drop by unannounced.
Right.
Just because you're family doesn't mean that you're welcome in my home any old time.
Right. I would do the same thing to my mother, my sister, my brother. Like, you cannot just show up at my house. That's a hard boundary for me.
Especially now when there's texting.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone has their phone right there in their pocket. Back in the day, it was harder to just, like, because you just dropped by because you didn't know if they were home or not. You didn't have a phone. You couldn't get a hold of them. But now, if you don't send a courtesy text like, hey, are you around? I want to stop by or can we hang out or whatever?
I don't know. We swing by my in-laws all the time without telling her. Just walk right in the door.
Well, she hates it, according to the survey. I'll bet it's not very fun for her.
You tell me she does not like how I just walk in. No. Sometimes no one's with me. I'm just hanging out.
Oh. Why don't you just call? Just call. Just be like, hey.
Nah, I don't want to call.
It just reminds me of that skit from Sebastian Maniscalco. I was in the neighborhood.
And
you know that one?
I know that one.
What are you doing?
Only you and me.
You want some Sanka?
You want some Sanka?
It's the best skit
ever. I know that bit.
Okay, it's the best bit
you
ever.
You use the front family room. I know. Listen, I'm very familiar. And then they flipped the script on this one, and they asked in-laws what they thought about adult children living near them.
Okay.
Or with them. 64% of parents said it would stress them out to have an adult child living with them. John.
I'm the worst.
John.
I'm living with them. I'm walking in with unannounced.
You know what drives me crazier than ever? And I don't know why. It doesn't... I used to have a friend, and I couldn't take him anywhere. Because the first thing he would do when he walked into anyone's house is he would open the fridge.
I do the same thing.
What is wrong with
Not a, if I came to your house, I wouldn't open your fridge.
No, he would do that too. I would take him over to friends of friends' house.
Really?
And he would like, can't take a look in here? And he didn't take anything. He never wanted anything. He never was never hungry. He just wanted to know what was there.
Excuse me.
It was I think, and he never said this to me, but I think he may have dealt with like food insecurity as a child and it messed with him forever. So he like, yeah, so he like had to deal with that.
I would be as offended of someone doing that as if someone like lifted up my skirt to see what was under there.
Yeah.
Really?
Excuse me, that is none of your business.
I'd rather you like take a little poopsie on my floor or something. I'd rather deal with that.
I'm ignoring both of you.
Than opening up the refrigerator.
Being ridiculous.
John. Don't you dare.
I'm coming over tomorrow to your house.
No, you're invited, and you know what?
I'm coming to your birthday party tomorrow.
I'm going to zip tie my refrigerator.
I'm opening up your fridge.
Excuse me. It's me and Ella's birthday party.
Right, exactly.
That is what I got for you.
All right. Thanks, Jackson. Monroe's story and my story, my great nerd news, will be on our podcast today. Another Friday, which means another Fiancé Friday. Monroe, Fiancé Friday.
So you're with your boo, and you guys are maybe planning on getting married here soon. You got a ring on a finger. But you haven't quite taken that final step. And then maybe they start acting a little funny, working late, or being a little too friendly with somebody, or being a little distant. You got to figure out what's going on. Well, that's when we'll put them through the test. The good old Jackson gauntlet, if you will.
I'm going to get you.
And Jackson offers a sensual couples massage to the person you're wondering about. And we just see who they want to take with them. Is it you? Is it someone else? Is it that close friend of theirs? Today we're going to help out Izzy. What's up, Izzy?
Hey.
You sound stressed.
I am stressed. My wedding is a week away.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot. Okay. And you're calling Fiancé Friday, so something obviously is happening.
Yes. I'm worried that, you know, my fiancé is going to call it off because he's been avoiding me.
How long has he been avoiding you?
Yeah, I haven't seen him in like 2 weeks.
Okay. Do you guys like live in the same house and like he's just MIA?
No. We don't live together, but you know, we basically usually live at each other's houses, you know, like on the weekends and that sort of thing.
Have you been reaching out to him? Like what's going on?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, like last weekend I thought we were going to hang, but he said he wanted to be with his friends. I thought that was kind of weird because he had just had his bachelor party the week before. But, you know, I was trying to be cool about it. You know, then Monday, he said he was tired. He'd see me the next day. He blew me off again. You know, I even, like, drove over to his house. And then he wasn't even there. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm thinking of calling his parents, but I don't really want to worry them. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm trying to not be Bridezilla, but we have things to do, and he's hiding from me, and I just want to know what's going on.
What's your fiance's name?
Pat.
Pat, okay. And you said earlier that his bachelor party was just a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
I don't want to put this out there.
Then don't.
I don't
you
want
to. You don't have to.
But I feel like I need to at least throw the idea out there for Izzy in case it is what happened. I think maybe there was a hookup.
And he doesn't want to tell her, so that's why he's being so weird.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to. Or maybe there's a...
Yeah,
like
I've definitely thought about that one.
Okay.
So thanks for bringing it back up.
Okay,
well done, John.
I'm hoping that's not it. I'm just saying, like, to me, I hear bachelor party and then you haven't heard since. I'm going, he's got like a hickey that's trying to heal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's what a good point.
Yeah? Monroe?
No!
Back me up.
No! Come on.
Okay.
He wouldn't do that.
Monroe's lying to you right now, Izzy. So this is what we're going to do. If it's okay with you, we'll just get Pat's number and we can call him up next and we can offer that sensual couples massage and kind of see what's going on in his mind. If we can track him down.
Yes, please. Anything. I just need some help.
Fiancé Friday helping out Izzy. Izzy, crunch time. Wedding is 1 week away.
Yeah.
We need to find Izzy's fiancé, Pat. He's gone MIA. Maybe aliens.
Okay.
But it just
it's not like you haven't heard from him at all, right?
No, like we've talked a little bit, but he's been like avoiding me. I haven't seen him in person.
Maybe aliens have his phone.
Aliens are answering his texts.
Yep.
Yeah,
there it is.
Exactly.
All right, M. Night Shyamalan. That's enough.
All right, so he did have a bachelor party though, and I don't know. I just lean towards maybe there was a hookup, and now he doesn't want to look Izzy in the eyes. Okay, Izzy, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have Jackson call Pat. He's going to offer Pat a sensual couples massage, and we're just going to see who Pat wants to take with him. All I need from you to make this happen is permission to have Pat on the radio.
Yeah.
Okay. Jackson, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Hello, this is Pat.
Hi, Pat. This is Jackson calling from the JJ&M Massage Parlor. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Hey, Pat, I don't want to take up a bunch of your time. The reason I'm actually calling today is because we are trying to get some of our word-of-mouth business out there. We're having a hard time opening up our shop, and we just haven't quite got the traffic that we're hoping for. So what I'm offering is actually some free massages today. What our goal is to have you come in, experience it, tell a few friends that you had a really good time, and hopefully that they'll come in as well. So you interested in a free massage?
Wow, really? That's fun.
Yeah, it's super, and it is totally free. A lot of people are worried about it. Sounds too good to be true, but like, I don't need your credit card information. I'm not going to sneak attack you with a bill later or anything like that. It's just totally free. Just want you to tell a couple friends.
Just word of mouth stuff?
Yeah, totally.
Sure, yeah, why not?
Cool, man. So the package I'm actually offering you today is our couples massage package. It's a really romantic environment where you and a partner lay side by side in our massage suite. Two massage therapists come in. They do all sorts of different massage types. So they'll do deep tissue. They can do Swedish. Have you ever heard of like an alien massage?
Is that really a thing?
Yeah, it's really a thing. It's a new technique. It came over from Sweden where they actually use all sorts of different implements. So like kind of like a rolling pin looking thing. And only a couple of massage therapists are licensed to do it here in the States. So it's actually kind of like a once in a lifetime kind of experience, which is really cool. So if that's something you're interested in, we could hook you up with that. And then when you're done with your massage, we actually move you over to our Serenity Room where you and a partner could just hang out. It's an hour of complete alone time. We've got chocolate covered strawberries and champagne in there. And normally this is like a $500 package, but I'm actually offering it to you for free today. So is that something you could use?
Oh my, I mean, this sounds absolutely ridiculous, and I don't really know if I'm believing this, but yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cool, man. All right, let's get your appointment booked. So I've got your name. It's Pat, right?
Yeah.
And then what is the name of the romantic partner you want to bring with you?
Izzy.
Hey,
great.
Yay!
Awesome.
Izzy.
Awesome. Pat, you're there. We found you.
Hello?
Hi. Hey, Pat. This is John. One third of the Mixed Morning Fix. Monroe's here as well.
Hi.
And you already know Jackson. You guys are old friends.
Hello.
I should also mention that Izzy, your fiance, has been listening in. Lizzie, you want to say hi? Or Izzy, you want to say hi?
Yeah. Pat, what the heck is going on? Like, where are you? Where have you been? Like, what's going on? We're getting married in a week. Like, are you calling it off? Like, what's up?
Oh, babe, I knew this was too good to be true. I knew that it was probably a thing. No one's just giving out free massages.
For sure.
Man.
Well, Pat, I got to tell you, Izzy reached out to us because you've kind of been MIA. You guys have a wedding next week. Congratulations. I hope the wedding's still happening. Yeah. But, you know, she hasn't seen you, like, at all. You're, like, hiding from her. So, like, what's going on? Like, you're making your bride-to-be just insane.
Oh, my gosh. Izzy, you're here, yeah? I can hear you. I feel like
yes.
I can hear you. Yeah, okay. Oh, yes, of course. Wedding is still on. Everything's happening. I understand. I think I know what this is. All right, so I guess I've been sort of avoiding us seeing each other because, okay, you know how a couple weeks ago my bachelor party, we were all drinking and, you know, my best man, Aaron, I'm telling everyone now, we all basically were really, really drunk. And we were drinking. I mean, like this was hangover style drunk. And, we decided to get some tattoos, which, we had been talking about, I guess, and it had been a joke that whole night.
Uh-huh.
And another one from my friend said that, you know, he actually had a tattoo gun at his place.
Oh, man.
And, and we went over there and I ended up with a tattoo on my face.
On your face?
I'm so.
Yes. It's not big. It's just like, it's on my forehead at the hairline. But it's like a foot, but it's blue. So it looks like it's a Smurf flute.
You are getting married in 1 week, young man.
Oh, Pat, what are you doing, man?
I know.
Monroe, he was getting married in 1 week.
I am furious with you, and it's not my wedding.
You have a
very small, Izzy. I just want Izzy to know that it's very small, and
even the smallest face tattoo is still a face tattoo.
It's a Smurf.
I know.
Izzy, are you there? Izzy, are you? How are you?
I'm here. I'm slightly baffled. Okay, that was the stupidest thing you've ever done. Uh-huh. And weeks before we're getting married. Yeah, but you know what's stupider? You avoiding me for weeks and me thinking that, like, you cheated on me or you don't want to marry me anymore. Did you ever think of that part?
No, I'm not. Nothing like that. I just didn't know how to tell you, and obviously I'm pretty embarrassed. And
were you just going to show up at the wedding and be like, surprise!
I look like Post Malone now.
I don't think we have a client who does tattoo removal.
Oh, we don't, but we should find one.
And I don't think it could happen within the next week. I'm going to suggest some cover-up for the day.
There you go.
The good news is no one was cheating, so can we count this as a win, Izzy, in a way? Like, Monroe says no.
No!
It's a small tattoo.
You are in so much trouble.
All I have to say is, yes, it's a win in one way, but this better not be the style, you know, of not communicating once we're married. We talk about things, no avoiding each other for weeks. Thanks.
Man, it'll be an interesting wedding, I would say, for Izzy and Pat. Good luck to the two of them.
I would kill him. I would just kill him.
Speaking of interesting weddings, I'm officiating a wedding tonight.
Tonight!
Yeah.
Do you cry? Fun. You seem like a... it's surprising that you can officiate, because it seems like you just get
a
up there and cry.
It's hard for me. It really is.
You guys love each other.
I know.
You look so beautiful.
I remember back to, like, mine when I was bawling, and then, like, that's like my one fear is just like crying when it's like my job to be up there.
Uh-huh.
I'm a crier these days.
Might I recommend just die a little inside? Because I don't cry at weddings because the part of me that senses love or feels love is dead. So.
I was talking with the bride about the ceremony.
Uh-huh.
You know, we kind of planned it all out. And she's like, I really just want to do like generic vows, like just something you have. I'm like, okay, we can do that. Then I got a call from her fiance and he wrote vows. And he's like, hey, can I send them to you? He's like... I'm like, yeah, but now I feel like I need to tell.
Yeah, you do.
No, it's a surprise. Don't tell her.
Well, because I said to him, like, are you going to tell her? And he was like, no, I want a surprise. But I'm like.
It's a surprise,
but
dog.
I'm thinking there's no way I want to be standing up there.
Nope.
Right, Monroe?
Yep.
Okay.
She needs to know.
She needs to know.
So she can't be embarrassed.
Yes.
Say, before we do the vows, the groom prepared a little something as a surprise. That's all you got to do, man. Let him take it from there. Listen, I've also officiated some weddings in my day.
Oh.
And you just, if they want to take it, you give them the stage. I don't want it.
No, it is the bride's day. The groom, you can switch the groom out. It is the bride's day.
No, wrong. It's his day too. He obviously loves her so much that he wrote something so heartfelt he wants to share
with
her.
Can I tell you? It's good.
Okay.
Is it good?
Yeah. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell her what he said.
No,
But you can... You can tell her, hey, he's got a little bit of a surprise during the ceremony. I didn't know if you wanted to be prepared also or...
What if you ruin surprise, though, and then she's mad that you ruined the surprise?
Really?
Because there are people
that
like surprises.
What if they get in a big fight?
Right there at the altar. I'm just standing there crying.
I say it's none of your business. He wants a surprise.
Really?
Keep it to yourself.
You know what my husband and I did?
Huh?
That I thought it was like a brilliant idea and it worked out so well. We did like just regular vows, like, you know, during the ceremony.
Yeah.
But then after the wedding, we stood up in front of everybody and we toasted each other.
Oh, that's sweet.
Because then like the pressure was kind
of
off. Like
ceremony.
We already got married.
Yeah,
like
that
nerve-wracking part was done.
Oh, I like that.
So then we got up and just toasted each other and told each other like how much we loved each other after.
I'll tell you how it goes on Monday, but I feel like it's going to get awkward.
It is.
I know.
Yeah, it'll be good.
I feel bad for her.
One last time. Do the showbiz beat, man.
Let's do it. Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
We finally got some new music from him. There's a new song called Panini. And I actually really like it.
Do you?
It is heavy on the rap side. So I know it's not like, we won't play it a lot on mix. But I was afraid that his Old Town Road was going to be like a one-hit wonder, and he was going to fade, and he didn't actually have the talent. I was afraid that that was what the case was. But I think he's a really talented rapper.
So they're claiming that he stole...
Oh, I was going to listen to the song first.
The way the song that's done, we got to set up the whole thing.
Oh, okay. So... Yeah. They're claiming that he sampled Nirvana's In Bloom, which he did. He actually did sample it, but he says that he never listened to the Nirvana Nevermind album until he wrote this song. He knows that he sampled
it. Okay, so he didn't know he was sampled. Okay, gotcha.
So like it was intentional.
Okay.
But he says that he had never heard the album before.
Really?
Which is crazy, because like, didn't you have parents that grew up in the 80s?
Yeah.
Like, how did you not listen to Nirvana? Everyone did. We all heard that album.
It was a whole...
It's like the most famous album in the world. So, like, it feels like. So take a listen to the sample.
There you go.
Just say to me.
I think it's that close. I really don't. I hear it, but I don't think. Meh.
Oh, really?
Matter. Yeah.
I mean, he's paying Nirvana the estate for sampling it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it says in the story that
it is so not. Are you kidding? The minute you hear this, I thought Nirvana. You don't hear that?
I hear it. Like, I hear the similarities, but I don't think it's that big of a...
Really?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. This song's different.
I haven't listened to enough of this. I've only listened to this clip.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should listen to the song, because, like, that part is kind of a standalone. It's its own separate part of the song. Mm-hmm. A lot of the song sounds very different, and I like it a lot. If you like hip-hop, if you like rap, you'll really like Panini, but...
Okay.
I mean, I liked it. So, what do I know? Whoopi Goldberg is apparently harassing Disney. She wants them to make a third Sister Act movie. And I guess it's like been one of the things where they keep blowing her off and they're like, no, not Sister Act number 3. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Because the story just basically says Disney hasn't responded to her request.
So she's actually reaching out.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah.
Oh,
it's like when Lindsay Lohan begs that they bring back Little Mermaid.
Dude,
and
Sister
she gets
Act
to
2
play Ariel.
Was terrible. Like, they have no other story.
Back in the Habit?
Yeah.
The name?
Yeah. It was terrible.
But Sister Act was so good.
It was great.
We watched that with the kids.
Uh-huh.
And it's still fun.
Do they like it?
Yeah, they were. I don't think they were as into it, but like the music's good. Once they got into more like the singing part, they got hooked on it.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, it's hard to explain to them that she's a lady of the night.
Yeah, that whole part.
Yeah, like she's working at a club and she...
Uh-huh.
But you know, I was young when it came out and I don't think I really...
Understood
what was going on.
I always did. Because I watched Pretty Woman a lot. I understand a lot about sex workers as a child. Probably more than most kids should know. Ed Sheeran tells the BBC that he, about the least romantic present that he ever bought.
Okay.
He said, it was for Christmas one year. My girlfriend, I bought her a pocket knife.
Oh.
They call them pen knives in the UK, though.
Of course
I had
do.
To I had to Google what a pen knife was. So I didn't know, and it was just like a Swiss Army knife.
Okay.
So he got her a pocket knife, and he was like, I felt weird doing it, but that's what she wanted. I don't know what to tell you. And in exchange, she got him a tech deck. One of those little finger skateboards.
How old were they? Like
they
12?
Have to have been in high school. Like, that is, I'll get you a knife, you get me a skateboard.
Tech deck. Do you remember those?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Jeez.
Man, all the time. That's all they did in high school was play with tech decks.
Yeah.
So Ed Sheeran, not a great romancer, regardless of what his music might make you think.
Shocker.
Whatever. What are you talking about? His music's
all
about being in love.
He can't even dress nice to perform with Beyonce.
It was his brand. Beyonce should have slummed it with him. Here's the thing. Why does everyone go after Ed Sheeran for not dressing up instead of going after Beyonce for not dressing down?
Because it was a nice event. He was at
event
and he was doing his performance.
He was performing.
Ed Sheeran's not romantic.
He was performing in his regular
clothes. If he was romantic,
clothes.
If he had an ounce of romance in him, he would have wore a tux. At least a blazer.
Boo. Katy Perry tells Paper Magazine that she's kind of a hoarder. because she has every costume that she's ever performed in. She keeps all of her costumes, all of her dancers' costumes. She has all of her tour sets, and she's got a she's got her big old whipped cream gun. Which,
oh yeah!
I don't know if you went to the California Dream Store.
Oh yeah!
Where it was all candy and kitties. Listen, and stuff. So fun.
You got to keep the whipped cream gun.
Of course, yeah.
I'll give her that. But that's like semis worth of stuff.
She has a huge warehouse, and she keeps it all there. And I'm like, girl, you need to open the Katy Perry Museum. I would go to that. I would go to it in a heartbeat.
Do you think that's what she's doing?
Actually, that would be really interesting to just go see all the costumes.
And like the behind the scenes, like how the set actually worked. Because did you guys ever see her, like when she was in her heyday, go to her shows?
Oh, yeah.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
Her Part of Me tour, which, by the way, if you haven't watched that documentary, you're missing out. It was really good. But her sets are nuts, and she does the quick change acts, and she does like these. Her sets are like huge moving pieces, and they're just amazing.
Yeah.
So I would love to just root around this warehouse for a little while. Like, what do we got in this box?
I don't think that's how they would do the museum.
I know, but that's what I want.
Okay.
Katy Perry, please let me root through your museum. Thank you. That is the show this beat.
All right, Jackson, appreciate it. On the phone right now from Biggest Loser, she's the casting director of Biggest Loser, Allison Kaz. Allison, I don't know if you know this, but Jackson actually was on Biggest Loser.
I remember.
The people who cast Biggest Loser have been casting forever, and you get to know them on Facebook and stuff. So like, Allison and I have been friends on Facebook forever.
Okay, I didn't know like where... maybe because we were kind of bringing back Biggest Loser. I didn't know if they got rid of everyone and this like a whole new group or what. So
Jackson, what season was that?
14.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It was a long, long time ago. It feels crazy, right?
It does. I started casting the show in 2002 or 2003. That's how long, we ran for.
Oh, man. You've been there since like the beginning.
Many seasons. Yes. I know from the very beginning. And it's been a fun ride. And it's also been like one of the most inspirational shows I've ever worked on in my life.
We're talking to casting director Allison Katz, The Biggest Loser. We're going to talk about how you can be a part of The Biggest Loser. But I am curious, Allison, since you've been doing it since 2002, 2003, were you always casting for like reality TV or like competition shows, or have you kind of ran the gambit?
I've run the gambit. You know, I got my start in scripted casting, but when, when I kind of got in when reality TV was starting to take off, and Biggest Loser was one of my very first shows that I did. And, you can imagine at the very beginning that it was a little difficult to find people because, people were skeptical about coming on a show to lose weight. And over time, it just became this thing that people really gravitated towards.
But is it harder then when you were trying to find people or now where everyone wants to be on TV and everyone wants to be a star?
You know, I think the biggest loser, the thing that's so nice about the show is that people truly aren't coming on to be a star. Like, I think the motivation and the desire to come on is truly because you're at the end of your rope and you're at a place where you don't know what to do and you know you want to take the weight off. And there's a genuine desire, and you don't always find that on TV shows now. You know, it's you get to know people on such a human level at their most vulnerable time.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of on-camera crying breakthroughs. The trainers will work you out until you're almost about to tears, and they're like, tell me about your dad.
Oh, gosh.
And then it's just like, you're like emotional. But like, it's so important to have those moments where you do get to the root of the problem. And that's one thing that I've so valued about my experience on Biggest Loser is that they get to the root of the problem. It's not just the crazy workouts. And those are fun. And the challenges are fun. But like, really, at the end of the day, it's about understanding how you got into the situation and breaking the patterns that got you there in the first place. And like that, and it sounds like this new season, Allison, is actually going to be a lot more of that. It's going to be a lot more of the full picture, the mental health portion of it.
Yeah, I think you just totally hit it on the head. You know, the show has evolved, and we're also in a time where health and fitness industry has changed. You know, and getting healthy means so much more than just shedding the pounds. It's dealing with what's going on internally as much as what's going on, you know, externally. And, you know, the show's going to tackle a lot of that this year. And the goal is that, you know, contestants can keep off the weight for a long-term health.
We are talking right now to Biggest Loser casting director Allison Katz. All right, let's talk about it then, Allison. Casting is happening right now. There's a lot of people listening here in Utah who follow Jackson's journey or who have watched the show and they want to be a part of it. How do they go about doing so?
It is the easiest process to apply for. Our website is BLCasting, the letters BLCasting.tv, and fill out an application. There's a section where you can upload a 2-minute video, and you can record it on your phone. You can record it right now, this morning. It doesn't really matter. We just want to hear you talk about why you're doing this and what your motivation is. Upload it to the site, and that's really it. You know, it's one of these things where, Jackson, you know better than anyone else. It's you know, everyone has that thought of like, oh, can I, or what if, or I should, or, you know,
right.
And then there's the excuses of there's not enough time, or I can't, you know, leave my family, or, you know, everyone sort of has their own life that is getting in the way. But when this is, you know, the most important thing that you have, and your health journey is the most important thing that you have, to take 3 months out of your life, which is how long we film for, to get years back down the line, you know, there's been so many contestants who have, you know, came onto the show and had diabetes, or came onto the show and had, you know, specific health conditions, or were taking 12 different medications, you know, and then by the time they left the show, a lot of that had changed. So I encourage anyone, whether you're 18 years old, which is our minimum age, to 60 years old and everywhere in between, if you have weight to lose, our flyer says 100 pounds, but the reality is if you have 80, 90, 100, 150 pounds to lose, you should apply.
And what I'll say, too, is a lot of people are nervous about making a video, but it doesn't have to be anything flashy. I remember specifically, I was talking to the casting team, kind of like, what sort of videos have you guys gotten? What's like the most memorable video you guys ever gotten? They're like, believe it or not, it was a woman from Bountiful. And she filmed a 15-minute video of her just walking. And the casting directors actually sit down and they watch every second of video that gets sent to them. They watch every submission, even if it's 100,000 submissions. And they watch every single second of every video. And they said, we watched her walk for 15 minutes. That was in one of the earlier seasons. And everyone who watched it still remembers it to this day. Like, it was just that memorable.
For her to walk. And
well, no, it was just her walking. That was it.
It
wasn't her struggle. It wasn't her life story. It wasn't anything. It was just her walking, and they're like,
wow.
I still remember that to this day, because we're like, is she still walking? It's been 7 minutes. But yeah, like that's as easy as it is to submit a video and to be memorable.
All right, Biggest Loser is casting right now. Allison, what's the last date that someone could submit a video?
We are casting until the end of July, so we do encourage you to submit soon, you know, or at least go online and fill out the application, even if you don't have a video, and you know, we will get back to you guys very, very soon.
Okay, and again, blcasting.tv. Allison Katz from Biggest Loser, hey, thanks for talking with us. We appreciate it.
So fun. And Jackson, it's nice to hear your voice again.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Allison. Bye.
Tony Hale on the phone right now. Tony, what's up, man? You're talking to Salt Lake City.
Oh, my gosh. I love Salt Lake City.
Oh, well, Salt Lake City loves you as well, dear.
Thank you. That's so nice. That's what I needed to hear.
Have you been up here for Sundance?
Yes. So beautiful.
Do you remember, was it for a specific movie, or were you up here just doing like the networking thing where, you know, the Hollywood comes up here and
hustles?
Yeah.
I was just up there for the swag.
Okay. No, right.
I was promoting, this year it was a movie called To the Stars, and then the other time there was a movie called Happy Thank You More Please.
Oh, okay. Awesome. On the phone right now, Tony Hale, you know him as Forky in the upcoming Toy Story 4 movie. How is it being part of the Pixar machine? I was looking at you on Twitter. They're sending you everywhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty overwhelmed. I feel very much like Forky. I'm kind of asking the question of, I don't know how I got here. I don't know what's happening. I went to the premiere last weekend. I think that's the first time that I thought, okay, maybe they didn't make a mistake. Maybe I am supposed to be in this.
His name is Forky. Which is why I'm so confused, because isn't he a spork?
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, he's got a few identity crises.
So, he is. I mean, much like myself. the little girl Bonnie made Forky, and she named him. And so he comes alive, and not only is he like, I'm not a toy, he's like, guys, I'm a spork. So there's so much going on in his head. And he's also kind of like, look, I was made to help people eat chili and then trash. That's my one-way route. And then, of course, Woody comes along and he's like, no, you have a greater purpose. You have value, which, you know, cue the cries, and then you're crying in a corner.
Oh, here we go again.
Aww. No, Tony, please don't tell. I can't, after Toy Story 3, when I bawled like a baby for the last 20 minutes, am I going to cry like that again?
Oh, sure. Get ready.
Oh, man. We have on the phone.
Also, here's the thing. But here's the thing, though, like on the big screen, I'm excited for people to see it because the detail that's gone into this movie, it is visually stunning.
Yeah.
Like the artistry is amazing. It really is.
I bet. On the phone right now, Tony Hale. You're going to see him in Toy Story 4. Let's talk though about Veep is ending. You're doing this movie. Are you done with TV? Are you going to move over to just nothing but film at this point?
Oh please, listen. I'm an actor who's always grateful for a gig. Always grateful. For a gig. However that looks, I'll show up at your kid's birthday party.
Don't make promises you can't keep, okay?
But you're not a working actor at this point. I mean, you're Tony Hale, man. Like, you're a star.
Oh, no, are you kidding? I'm a full working actor. I am always thankful for a gig. I mean, even being in this movie, I do have moments I'm like, you know what? Are you sure you didn't mean Jack Black?
Well, speaking of that and kind of how surreal the whole thing is, were you able to have time with, like, Tom Hanks? Like, is he a good guy or is he just a complete dick behind everyone's back?
He's such a nice guy. I was able to kind of meet the cast last week because we were doing press. And it's just, I mean, they're the nicest people. But keep in mind, these people have been in this movie for 25 years, this franchise. And they were so welcoming and so cool. And Annie Potts is like the sweetest woman in the world.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure you're sick of talking about Arrested Development, but I want to talk a little bit about Arrested Development.
Let's get into it.
Buster Bluth is like my favorite. So you guys, I always felt like Arrested Development was a little ahead of its time. It wasn't really appreciated when it was on, and then it found that cult following and then got huge again years after it had wrapped. And then you guys all got together and did another season. How was it going back to that? Were you guys able to just like flow seamlessly into it, or did it take some time working into it again?
Oh, I was very nervous about coming back. I remember for the fourth season when they brought us back. The wild thing is though, I remember coming back and we were all in our costumes. And it felt because like 7 years had passed, and I'd be like, "What's happening?" But I remember Jessica Walters, who played Lucille, my mother, when she goes, Buster. And it was like this Pavlovian response for me. I was immediately back.
You were immediately mother boy
like,
again.
Oh, yep, there it is. I was like immediately back in the dysfunction.
That's amazing.
Tony Hale, of course, Veep, Arrested Development. You are the greatest at drunk history. Do you brag to the other actors that they can't match you when it comes to the lip syncing and the...
Oh, that's so nice. I actually love that show. And here's the thing. I don't know if it's because I completely forget high school, but I learned so much from that show. Every story I've done, I'm like, I can't believe this happened. And I needed this show to teach me. So, I mean, if anything, it's like it's the best learning process.
I love it. Tony Hale, again, Toy Story 4, it hits theaters today. We have the big screening we're doing tomorrow. He's playing Forky in it. I got to tell you,
cool.
Yeah, we bought a theater for it for our listeners, so we're really excited.
Oh, I love that. I love it. Guys, it is, and here's the thing. The voice actors are a very small piece of this pie. The artistry that's gone into this movie it's visually stunning. Like, it is beautiful what they've done.
His name is Tony Hale. Tony, we were just such big fans. We were really excited to talk to you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. You guys have a great weekend.
You
see
too. You now.
We were just talking off air. For those who don't know, I'm a sandwich connoisseur.
John's a sandwich guy.
I love sandwiches.
And yet, you've never had the egg salad sandwich from 7-Eleven.
It's a great sandwich.
Don't say that.
It's an iconic sandwich.
It is not an okay, iconic I wouldn't sandwich. Call it iconic. Monroe, let me handle it from here.
Okay.
You're not a great ambassador because I, like Monroe, am a big fan of the egg salad sandwich from 7-Eleven.
Uh-huh.
And you got to get it with Pringles. But it is the most underrated sandwich. It is really, really tasty. And I had one for breakfast this morning.
You did not.
I did. Because 7-Eleven's like, when we're coming to work, nothing's open.
Mm-mm.
So like, I just swing by 7-Eleven real quick. I grab the egg salad.
Why wouldn't you get just a breakfast sandwich from them?
Because
one of their warm things.
I like the egg salad
because
sandwich.
The egg
I prefer
salad
it.
Sandwich is really that good.
I don't want to buy food from 7-Eleven.
Listen, we fight about this all the time. One of my favorite places to buy food is 7-Eleven.
I know.
I love their deli counter. I love their little...
Don't even claim it's a deli counter.
It is... A little fridge full of sandwiches.
It is. That's exactly what it is.
Great. That's a deli counter.
And I walk by that thing and I go, who would ever pick
And their hot case is delicious. You know what? I'm going to come over there and I'm going to strangle you.
Dude.
The police are going to find your body and then they're like, oh, it looks like he asphyxiated on an egg salad sandwich.
You can't call yourself an egg salad. You can't call yourself a sandwich connoisseur if you haven't had the egg salad from 7-Eleven.
I disagree. I feel like I can because I haven't had one.
That's like a wine connoisseur saying, I'm a wine connoisseur, but I've never tried cheap wine.
Right, because I'm a connoisseur. I don't need your Franzia.
No, you need to try everything so
yeah,
you can
you do.
Tell the
You
spectrums.
Have to know the difference.
If you're a real connoisseur, if you really uh-huh. want to know what all the sandwiches taste like, you should try all the sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to
That's
try.
That's what a connoisseur would do.
I'm going to have to
You're
be a sandwich today.
I'd That's also what like you to- are. You're a sandwich hack, John.
I've been called a hack for a lot of things. Radio.
Fatherhood.
Comedy.
Co-host.
Never. You're right. Co-host, but never for sandwiches.
Yeah. I'd also just like to play both sides here. So.
Researchers in Scotland have trained 3 gray seals to sing simple songs.
Cool.
What, a singing seal?
So first they'll play a few notes that kind of sound like a seal. And then the seal tries to match the pitch of what they just heard.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that they sang Kiss by a Rose.
No.
By seal.
No. No, I wanted the Titanic song. I want you to just like look over out on the bay and just hear.
I got bad news for both of you.
It's just seal noises, right?
It's Star Wars.
Oh,
so first,
okay, that's cool.
First, you're gonna hear the computer doing it as like a computer doing a seal impression, yeah. And then you'll hear the seal singing.
Join in,
okay.
Oh, he sings so pretty.
Okay, super cute, super cute. Not sure I'd say you have a singing seal there.
Are these
though.
Seals
you know
or sea
saying?
Lions?
They're seals, gray seals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's according to my, I don't know.
Normally when I picture sea lions right. being the real from, like, I remember, like, singers and stuff.
From like, I remember growing up going to SeaWorld and there was yeah. always the sea lion show, which was my favorite show. Yeah. More than even like Shamu.
I guess I didn't know that seals could be trained like this.
Here's a Twinkle Twinkle. That's the computer.
We need to work on rhythm. I'm just saying. I was going to call it. Y'all are thinking yeah. it. I'm just
y'all
saying
seals
it.
Seals suck.
The seals are just like white dudes in seal costumes.
Tomorrow's a big day. Monroe's daughter's birthday party. Also known as Jackson's party.
Yeah, it's my party.
Dude,
I'm hosting it.
It's Jackson's coming out party at, like, I don't know, you know, like the, what do they call those?
Hold on. I went to a few of those like in high school. What are they called? Does it start with, I don't know. Keep going.
It's like a debutante ball?
Yes. What yes.
talking
yes.
about?
Yes, yeah. exactly. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Debutantes.
I'm the star of it all. Oh I'm gosh. The queen. It's Ella's birthday, Monroe's daughter's birthday, but I'm the star that day.
That's right.
No, like I had to put your name on the invitation that uh-huh. you were hosting it because she wanted everybody to know that Jackson was coming to her birthday. She slept in her Jackson t-shirt last night. I went to go kiss her yes. in her bed this morning.
And you saw my face.
It's like...
You peel back the covers and I'm right there.
Ah! Sleeping in his t-shirt.
I know, trust me.
I gave birth to you.
I know. So we're looking forward to that.
That's so funny.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's going to be really fun.
Like, in case you don't know, the reason I'm hosting the party is because I work at a reptile exhibitor. So like, I take snakes and lizards and alligators and stuff to like schools and birthday parties. I do a fun little show and it's really fun. But that's what Monroe hired me to come do that at her kid's birthday party.
I had to pay him to come to the birthday party. That's all Ella wanted.
I mean, I would have come anyway.
Just kidding.
But it's probably better, though, to pay him. I mean, he is just like the single dude with no kids. You don't just want him like roaming around some kid's birthday
Thank
party.
Thank you.
I get it.
Thank you.
I get it.
Because I feel uncomfortable doing that. I'm like, yeah. I don't belong here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
One of these things is not like the other.
You guys want an amazing fact of the day?
Yay!
I'm going to call an audible. The city of Dallas was founded by a guy named John Bryan, who named it after his friend Dallas. Only no one knows who Dallas is.
Just some guy, huh?
Just some dude's friend. He's like, I'm going to name this whole city after.
That's pretty good. That's a good fun fact.
Dallas has no meaning whatsoever.
None.
Interesting.
Except for it means something to John Bryan.
John Bryan.
John Bryan. John
also,
Bryan.
What a name. Right. He sounds like he could be a really bad country singer.
John Bryan loves to hit hard. Yeah. I'm John Bryan. Yeah.
Wow. Right. You have like karate video, John Bryan.
That's my John Bryan.
No, John Bryan. My John Bryan's more like a Kurt Russell, if you will.
Oh.
Yeah.
Suave.
Yeah,
cool,
just like a
low key
smooth
dad
operator.
Role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Kurt Russell. All right. Okay. Let's get out of here. Jackson, final thoughts.
Go download the podcast, not necessarily for today, but because tomorrow we are dropping a Saturday morning serial. It's our bonus episode. It's a true crime episode we do every other week. And the one that I'm sharing, I'm not going to say it's one of my favorite stories because it's super messed up. But like, it is one that has stuck with me for years and years. It is horrifying, and I can't wait to just horrify John all over again.
Dude, all you have to do is say someone was murdered, yeah, and you will horrify John.
Yeah, he's a squeamish.
I live in a world. You know, like when they go into SpongeBob's brain, and it's just like cotton candy. Yeah,
that's your world.
That's
all the time.
My world all
Man,
the time.
Do I have some bad news for you? And I will say, so normally for Saturday morning cereal, I try to keep them a little on the light side. But this one, I don't know why. It's just like I was listening to a podcast and they had mentioned her name and I was like, I got to do this one.
Okay.
And Ooh. It is brutal and horrifying, but there's a silver lining, so don't worry.
It's okay. A female one?
We'll talk about it.
Monroe, Ooh. Final thoughts.
I'm intrigued. Have a great weekend. It's Friday and you know what?
If you don't buy a tray of salad or sandwiches for your birthday tomorrow...
Yeah, that's the thing. John's not going
to
come to my party if I make the sandwiches.
If you make the sandwiches,
I have to order sandwiches.
Better order them from now.
But I have to order them today.
I don't know your food prep. You can't wash your hands well when you have that cast on right now.
I really can't.
Yeah. So.
But I can't wipe with this hand either. So that's
gross. Double gross.
That's what I'm saying. We don't want those big hands in your hand of that sandwich.
Yeah. Plus, like... How would you even make something? Because John likes a finely tuned sandwich with everything well placed, and you're not that delicate.
You know what
with
I'm gonna
hands.
Do? I'm gonna go to 7-Eleven.
Don't you do it?
I'm gonna buy
every egg
salad sandwich they have.
Have a great day. Bye bye. You got a podcast in me. You got a podcast
in me.
Whenever you wanna listen, we'll be here.
You got a podcast in me.
No.
Randy Newman.
Randy Newman.
I know what you were trying to do.
She
I can
knows.
At least figure
she
it
knows.
Out.
She knows.
Yeah.
She Listen, knows. I'll say that it wasn't our best work, but it
Thank
wasn't
you.
Our worst either. It was right there in the middle.
It's really where I strive to be.
Right in the middle.
Right. C's get degrees.
Amen,
don't
man.
Tell me.
Amen. Our show is the epitome of C's get degrees.
They're always like, should we cancel it? Well, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. I know we're not making a lot of money off, but we're also not losing a lot of money. Just, and. Look at how much fun they're having.
Look how happy those three seem to be over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them, it's all they have.
Me. All right, Monroe, do you have your story for the podcast?
Yeah, I've got it.
Go for it.
So we all have I don't know if you've ever had an expense account at work. Where you're like a chance to like expense something.
I'm aware of them. I've never had one.
Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah. And it's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I would probably have at least half of what's on this list. Someone asked a ridiculous question about things that people have submitted on their expense reports and tried to get companies to pay for.
Yeah.
And it's just a funny list. It's hilarious. Number 10 was a bear rug.
bear rug.
Look, you need one for your office. How are you going to be...
Right?
How are you supposed to lie nude in your office if you don't have a bearskin rug?
Exactly.
We wanted to prank Bob from the mail department, right? And we wanted to recreate the Tom Selleck photo with the bear rug. That was all for work.
I would sign
Is that
off
Tom
on
Selleck
that.
Or Burt Reynolds?
Burt Reynolds, sorry.
Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds. No, you're fine. Yeah.
It was Tom Selleck because we were talking about
yeah.
friends earlier.
Yeah.
All right. Number 9 was a Lamborghini.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Someone tried to expense a Lamborghini?
Yes. Can I tell you? I won't tell you who it is, but I know a company where this new CEO came in and said, you know, I need a car. I need you guys to finance a car. And they were like, yeah, cool, yeah. whatever. He came back with a Porsche. And I think that they were just like, what? I know we agreed to a car,
yeah.
but
oh
what
my
are you
gosh.
Doing? And then... They got to a point where they had to like lay some people off, and they were like, you have to get rid of that. Okay. And we are not going to lay people off and have you pull up in that Porsche.
I'm glad they said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's gosh. Tacky.
So funny, though. So funny. My husband was just like, are you
Can you funny. Even believe what happened?
Yes. All right. Number 8, a chicken statue with a top hat.
That's the sort of thing I try to expect.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
That's a Jackson move.
It's for a Jackson on the street. I need it.
Right.
They're like, no, you don't.
Gambling losses.
So I feel like that's a common one.
So there's we work with a lot of people who they do like a form of sales, and they take out a lot of like program directors and they try to wine and dine you. And, mm-hmm. and sometimes they'll fly you places for shows and then you'll go and gamble. And I've seen them like pull money out to give to people to like gamble.
Yeah. And like, hey, here's $100. Go play the slots or go play blackjack or whatever.
Exactly. And I'm always like, man, how do you write that like on your expense report? Because someone's got to give that. These guys don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, someone's got to give them that money back.
Yeah. And you can't just have like a miscellaneous line.
Yeah. No. Right. And then I know a guy who got fired because he wrote on his expense report. They went to a club with exotic dancers.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I've heard that story.
Yeah.
That's a radio story.
That is a radio story.
I've heard that story.
That sounds like a radio story.
That is so funny.
That sounds like an old radio story.
That's an old radio story.
Radio's not that way anymore, but boy, did it used to be.
There was a time.
This was Sodom and Gomorrah.
A cow?
Sure.
A whole cow?
A whole cow.
That's okay. We were going to try to expense a pig.
We were.
Well, I keep trying to get it done every year, right around spring. I've done it 3 years in a row now.
Yeah.
I throw out the idea. I'm like, I want to raise a pig, and I want him to get a blue ribbon at the state fair. I want it to be like our big summer promotion, and then we could take the pig everywhere we go. Like, oh, we're live broadcasting out the RSL store. Great. Pig.
Bring the pig.
Yeah.
Great pig.
Great pig. Here he is.
They've turned us down so far.
Every time. Yeah. I'm like, pigs are cheap. I can get a pig on the cheap. The food's going to cost a lot because I'm going to really fatten them up for this family and make them real big.
We need a blue ribbon if we're going to do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get that belly. Just scratch it real good. Ugh. I love pigs. Sorry.
This one I kind of understand and I kind of don't, but it's 300 tacos.
Well, if you're
that's
buying
reasonable.
If you're buying lunch for the office.
Yeah. I wish our company would buy us 300 tacos.
Yeah. Listen, I challenge.
That's I us challenge three, the three of us 300 tacos,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not sharing.
No. I don't know that counts. Yeah, it's a little ridiculous to say, hey, I bought 300 tacos. Can you pay for this? But, you know.
I bet the person, he didn't get it.
I feel like that's reasonable.
I do, too.
I think so, too.
If you have 100 people in your building and you count on everyone eating 2 or 3 tacos, like, the math works out.
Yep.
That's easy.
Yeah.
A pogo stick. Because, you know.
My son is all about pogoing these days. And then I was like,
yeah.
I was driving down the street and I saw a park and a bunch of other kids had pogo sticks. Are they?
Oh, is it the new Razor scooter?
It must be.
The new old Razor scooter?
I guess. Yeah.
No, because we can't come up with any original ideas.
No. That's our show.
I digress. A crib. I love that they tried to expense the crib because I feel like there was some inter-office drama that also went along with that story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. I feel like somewhere... She was like, this is your fault.
Oh, one of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
love
crib.
It. I love it so much. And then this one is the most ridiculous to me. 59 cents for parking. Because, you know.
Not that person's job to pay.
Uh-huh.
It's not what he didn't sign on to pay for parking.
Yeah.
You give him that 59 cents back.
Seriously.
You ready for my nerd news?
Yeah, man. Let's hear it.
This is This Week in Science. The biggest stories in science this week, like this one, astronomers scanned 1,300 of the closest stars looking for signals that might be aliens trying to contact us.
And?
They found nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
They found absolutely nothing. They,
dang.
Maybe they were next. Pretty disappointed.
If they were within reach of us getting there, then we would know about them by now, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, but at this point in our scientific evolution, if they were within reaching distance, I think they exist, but I don't think they exist within our realm.
I don't know. I feel like we're not still at that place where we just are aware of things. We have to be always searching.
Yeah.
Like, they say that an asteroid could slip by still and, like, get us.
An asteroid could just slip by?
Yeah.
An asteroid, excuse me, no.
Interesting. Okay.
Alexa will be able to tell if you're having a heart attack just by listening to your breathing. Alexa. This is the next Alexa update.
Dude, Alexa, stop listening.
Alexa is already so nosy. Like, she needs to mind her own business.
I will tell you that I've heard from my doctor friends that the iWatch, the new one with the heart, is like the best.
Super accurate?
Yeah, for your heart. Yeah, like if you have heart problems.
Interesting.
A new study found dogs can detect lung cancer with 97% accuracy just by their sense of smell. Which means they wouldn't have to do more like biopsies. They'd be able to just have a dog sniff you.
Cute.
Little dog wearing a lab coat.
Oh my gosh. And a stethoscope.
And a tiny little stethoscope.
Can you imagine the doctor like having to page for him? Nurse Robinson,
Dr. Shepherd to the emergency room. Dr. Shepherd to the emergency room. And then a big old German Shepherd comes and walks on it. So cute.
Researchers in Minnesota created a robotic arm for amputees that you control with your mind. Doesn't require implants or surgeries. You just stick something on your head and it links up with your brain. So just little on the outside now.
Oh, okay. So it's just like a little
This is
trainer turned
Black
upside
Mirror.
Down or anything.
Is it?
Yeah. So Black Mirror, one of the whole... So Black Mirror is a futuristic show where they do a lot of like future tech, and a lot of it is virtual reality and like downloading consciousness, being able to take your consciousness from your brain and putting it into data so that you can live forever in the cloud and that sort of thing. And it's like one of the things they use are these little discs, these little pods that you put onto your temple. And in different episodes, they serve different purposes. Like in San Junipero, that's like the afterlife. So you can put that on your head and then you can live forever. And then, like, once like, you're actually ready to die, they download your whole brain into the disc and they put it into a big hard drive where your consciousness lives forever. But then there are other ones where, like, you can feel the way that other people feel. It's super realistic VR, all sorts of things. And this sounds exactly like that.
Huh.
It's crazy.
Also, you know, everyone's like, cyborgs, that's scary. That's the future. And I'm kind of like, well, we're creating them.
Yeah.
Every time we pair ourselves with any kind of machine... Yeah. We are cyborgs. Like
cool.
That's the concept of
Make
it.
Me a cyborg. Why is everyone afraid? I want to be a cyborg. I'll be part of the cyborg uprising. Absolutely.
Dude, if I could live forever, I totally would.
I don't even want to live forever. Terrible. I just want to be a cyborg. I just want my knees to stop hurting. I want cyborg knees. I want them to take my legs and replace them with robot legs.
And finally, scientists at Penn created a new type of reversible superglue by studying how snails stick to walls. Just a dab of this new glue can hold 200 pounds.
What?
There you go.
A dab snails. Of snail glue.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. The good news is our next episode is actually going to be a Saturday morning serial, which is a true crime story.
Woo!
Have a great day. Bye-bye.